Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend John Glennon from Broadway Sports. John, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are doing wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Great.
John, what has stood out to you so far through Titans training camp? Obviously, not a whole lot of action for Derrick Henry at this point. Today will be the first day of full pads, so a little bit of a different element being introduced today. What have been some of your impressions so far through Titans training camp?
You know, I think I've been kind of pleasantly surprised by what I've seen from the defense. You know, I think we all know that this defense has to make up some huge strides from last year. You know, so bad in so many different ways. And granted, as you said, we haven't seen anything in pads yet, so, you know, that's another step. But some of these DBs, after getting kind of toasted the first couple of days out there, I really feel like they've shown up. You know, we've seen more interceptions out there. We've seen more pass breakups. You know, I think we've seen a little bit more energy from this defense than we did last year. And, you know, we've got guys talking about, you know, playing with swagger on the defense and so forth. Now, you know, you kind of got to say, all right, that's great, but we've done that, you know, in 5 days without pads and so forth, so that remains to be seen just how much of that carries over. But it's a nice, you know, turn to see after what we saw from this defense last year. You know, maybe, honestly, the other thing that's kind of starting to turn, you know, heads a little bit out there, is Ryan Tannehill, and unfortunately, I'm not saying that in a great way. I think he's been a little bit off, you know, more so certainly than we've seen in the past. You know, more interceptions and just, you know, missing some receivers that you kind of go, huh. You know, maybe if it happens once or twice, you say, okay, that's normal. But to me, anyway, I feel like, again, that we're seeing it a little bit more than we have in the past, and that's been a bit of a surprise. You know, maybe it's just a bit of an adjustment to Todd Downing. Maybe it's an adjustment to some new wide receivers, but we'll see if that continues.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're talking, Johnny, about, you know, Kaiser and Logan Woodside. Maybe we should be talking about Woodside and Tannehill, huh? I think it's about time to start sounding the alarm bells. I'm kidding, of course. But it has been, I mean, it has been some swashbuckling, just throwing picks all over the field so far for Tannehill. We were talking earlier. I was like, gosh, it's almost like it's a different DB every day too. Like, he's, you know what? Today, let's get Christian Fulton a little bit of confidence. Let me be way late on this out pattern to A.J. Brown and just get this kid some confidence. But I guess on the defensive side, John, there's a lot of talk from these guys. We can see the intensity. You can hear the excitement when they make plays. Do you think there is any sort of benefit, big picture, on this defense to just do good things against this offense, even though this offense isn't complete right now?
Yeah, you know, I certainly think, like, you know, in terms of energy and in terms of the sort of the swagger that some guys have talked about, you'd certainly rather see it than not. You know, in the bigger picture, what does that mean after, you know, five practice days? What we want to see is regular season. What are you going to do on third downs? What are you going to do in the red zone? You know, et cetera, et cetera. There are certainly some glaring holes, you know, pass rush last year as well. But, you know, I think where it starts probably too is confidence. You know, this defense has a lot of confidence to build up. So when they're going out there on these days and they're getting some interceptions and they're getting some pass breakups, you know, they're patting each other on the back. They're kind of flying around a little bit and they're saying, okay, you know, things can change. We've got a lot of new personnel this year on defense. You know, we've got Shane Bowen in a slightly different role, at least that he's moving around to the different practice positions and so forth. You know, so things are different. Things are a fresh start for this defense, and I think they're appreciating that. Again, it's one thing to see that all right now. Quite a different measure, you know. And when week one comes around, that's when we'll see when there's real improvement. And also, you know, I think starting today, as you guys mentioned, the first day of pads, Now we'll see a little bit more. You know, are these guys holding up against the run? You know, can linebackers get off blocks? You know, it's a little bit of a different story in the interior line. Does Tyre Tarte look as good as he has, you know, without pads for the first few days? So looking forward to seeing what we can come up with today as well.
John Glennon for Broadway Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, you've covered the Titans for a long time. Can you remember a time where the Titans appear to have had this much competition at wide receiver in terms of guys that just feel like legitimate NFL options in camp? I mean, we were talking about earlier in the show today, guys like Cam Batson and Chester Rogers who have had pretty good camps so far. Like, they could find themselves on the outside looking in. What do you think of the receiving battle so far, a few days into training camp here with the Titans?
Definitely, to me, the most interesting position to watch for the Titans. You know, I agree with you. Certainly, you know, over the years, wide receiver has been a bit of a, you know, an Achilles heel for the Titans, and for the most part, you know, until A.J. Brown came along, you know, they had all kinds of difficulty, you know, picking guys, you know, and this was not just one general manager, one staff. It just seemed like it transferred over the years from one to another, and depth, you know, was always a concern at the position. But now you're looking at it and you're having trouble, you know, as you said, you're having trouble cutting this group down to six. You know, I mean, you're raising the possibility. I still don't think it'll happen, but it's not out of the question that, you know, seven wide receivers might be kept on this team. You know, you've got your big three, obviously, and Brown, Jones, and Josh Reynolds. You'd have to think a guy like Dez Fitzpatrick, you know, a third-round draft pick, is going to be a lock, even though he probably hasn't stood out too much so far. You know, and then all of a sudden you've got a guy like Racing McMath coming out of nowhere. You know, I would have assumed maybe that this is a practice squad year for a guy like Racing McMath. But what he has done so far, you know, has really, I think, put himself right in the midst of that 53-man roster talk. You know, you've got Joe Rexroad's favorite guy out there, old Nick Westbrook, who's a special team stud with a lot of untapped potential. And then you figure
get that shot in. That's fine.
You've got to have a guy who returns some punts out there too. So don't you feel like, you know, either Cam Batson or Chester Rogers has to make the team too? And then, I mean, you know, the names keep going. Marcus Johnson has had a very good camp, I think, too. So yeah, it's going to be tough at wide receiver. There's some interesting decisions to make. And do you go so far as to keep seven on the team? And you could, you know, knowing that some of these guys are going to be special team standouts, you know, if you had McMath and Westbrook as gunners, perhaps maybe that opens the door for seven on the roster. I'm not sure, but it's a nice problem to have for the Titans after struggling at that position for so long.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, well, I mean, Westbrook and Keenan, he could probably also be a Pro Bowl pass rusher, running back, wherever you need to move him. But in all seriousness, quarterback, whatever. But seriously, like Rodgers, John, that's a guy who I've just really discounted. Like, hey, nice veteran, you know, who comes in and gives you some good reps. But it's getting harder and harder to ignore him and the plays he's making. That's going to be fascinating. What about tight end right now? Obviously, we were there Saturday. That was a terrible scene with Briley Moore, who's now on IR, you know, clutching that knee going down and the cart coming out. I kind of liked him as the best of the undrafted guys. Do you think Tommy Hudson still has a shot? Do you think this is going to just be like Firkser, Swaim, Stocker, and that'll do it? Do you think that John Robinson still could potentially go find someone?
Yeah, you know, I think you and I were in agreement on Briley Moore, you know, much as we are on Westbrook, you know, Briley Moore might have made a good tight end four there. You know, I thought he had some nice catches, you know, showed some nice hands, and I thought it was going to be a nice pairing. You know, you might have Firkser and perhaps Moore as a pass catcher, and then you have, you know, Swaim and maybe Tommy Hudson as your blocking tight ends. Well, things have changed a little bit now that Moore goes down and they bring in Luke Stocker. Now, you know, I'm wondering, do they only keep the three, Firkser, you know, Stocker and Swaim? To me, you know, that seems a little lean to me. It seems like you need another pass-catching guy out there. You know, you've got Jared Pinkney in camp. You've got Miller Forrestall. To me, those guys haven't really stood out yet, so maybe there's another guy out there that they grab. I had thought Tommy Hudson, you know, was going to be in good shape, you know, maybe even as a tight end three, as a, you know, as a blocking guy. He had a reputation as a very good blocker. You know, unfortunately, if they're picking up Stocker and you've already got Swain there as a blocker, you know, I don't think there's room for Tommy Hudson in that regard. So I think one other question we have to answer there, you know, Swain hasn't been on the practice field in a few days. You know, he was riding the bike yesterday. How significant is that injury? Is that why they brought in Luke Stocker? You know, we just don't know how long Swain is going to be out. That's another interesting position to watch, though, because I would like them to have another kind of a pass-catching tight end. I'm not sure that guy is on the roster now. I liked Moore, but maybe they end up picking up another vet at some point.
All right, John, last thing for you here. Why in the world is Steven Goskowski not here yet kicking field goals for the Titans?
I think it probably boils down to cold cash, it would be my guess. You know, that's the only thing I can really figure, is the Titans would rather not pay, you know, what they would have to pay Goskowski. You know, that's why they were having McCann and Halbel out there, and that did not prove fruitful. You know, I don't know if Sam Ficken is the answer. He had a nice year for the Jets last year, but the guy missed, you know, he only missed two field goals, but he missed three extra points, you know. I mean, and then that's a little bit of an issue for Sam Ficken over the years, so I don't know if he's the guy. I still think, you know, another week, another 2 weeks, Steven Goskowski gets that call, and they end up having to pay a little bit more for him. But, you know, I mean, as close games as we see every year, I want to say the Titans, probably half their games last year were, you know, one score or 3 points or less. You got to have a guy that you can be relied on and that can be relied on. And Goskowski, at least for the second half of the season, was that guy last year.
John Glennon from Broadway Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, does a great job covering the Tennessee Titans. John, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, brother.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. John Glennon, our guest. Yep. On Robbie and Rexford. We'll come back. We'll react to what John had to say there. Get your thoughts on the Titans as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexford here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick-to-Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game tomorrow, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate tomorrow morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezevic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe Rexrode out in Knoxville. He is covering Tennessee Volunteers Media Day today, so Rexrode joining us via Zoom right now. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thanks to John Glennon for joining us in the last segment. And, Joe, it's interesting. Out there yesterday, Ryan Tannehill throwing more picks. Julio Jones goes down awkwardly yesterday, has to leave and go inside. Let's start with Julio Jones. You were there. You saw the play. What's the concern level right now with Julio Jones, if you're a Titans fan, based on what you saw yesterday at practice?
I wouldn't put it very high, unless the concern is, you know, is this going to keep him out more? Is he going to do less team and all that stuff than planned? Yeah, probably, because you're going to be super cautious. So everyone should be prepared for no Julio Jones today, or maybe very limited Julio Jones. He's just not going to mess around with stuff. But again, it looked to me like a tweaked ankle. You know, again, there was no real contact on the play. Just, it was actually a beautiful Tannehill pass that he should have caught for a TD. He didn't. And then he kind of came up a little bit, kind of crouching over, kind of trying to, you know, work it out a little bit, went inside. I don't think it should be high, but also weird things do happen. So you always have to keep that in mind. It's hard to feel good about projecting anything on injuries in this game. But, you know, I'd expect it wouldn't be anything too big. And, you know, something to keep an eye on, of course, is Josh Reynolds.
Yep.
And how long he has not – he left Thursday and still hasn't been out there. And, again, as Glennon kind of laid out there, it's not like it's any kind of threat to Reynolds, but there are reps that are being grabbed by other guys, which maybe helps other guys make the team or push for that. But also, like, the chemistry thing, we talk about it with Tannehill and Julio Jones, certainly. We know he has it with A.J. Brown. He's trying to develop it with Julio Jones, but it's important with Josh Reynolds too. And this is time that would be spent doing that. So the quicker he can get back, the better for the Titans.
As far as Tannehill goes, and John Glennon brought this up as well, maybe some more interceptions than we're used to seeing from Ryan Tannehill, maybe missing some guys that he normally hits. What have been your thoughts on Tannehill so far through training camp? Would you be concerned about it if you're a Titans fan at this point? How do you kind of grade what Tannehill has looked like so far through the first few days at training camp for the Titans?
I wouldn't be too concerned about it. I don't even know that I'd be remotely concerned about it. We've seen Tannehill, how he takes care of the ball in games that count for the Titans. And although I do think, you know, from a coaching perspective, you know, I think Vrabel probably is like, okay, that's enough of the picks.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, and you can sense that. And Tannehill, it's not like he's all happy-go-lucky after throwing a pick out there. You know, he was ticked off yesterday after one that should have been picked off. So he's got to work some stuff out too. But I don't think it's any kind of concern level with him. He knows what you can get away with and not in an NFL game. And right now is the time to let it rip, let some guys make some plays. And if that's defensive guys at times, well, there's a team benefit to that too, potentially.
Yeah, and Christian Fulton, a big day yesterday. And what's been interesting to watch on that front is it's kind of been a different guy every day. Imani Hooker's had a good camp so far. Jackrabbit Jenkins had a couple of picks the other day in practice. And my guy Breon Borders all over the place, all camp long so far. But good to see Christian Fulton making some plays yesterday, because we've talked about him a lot and probably not enough. He's going to be crucial to what they do this year and how good they are on defense. Like, Christian Fulton, to me, is a massively important player to this team this year.
Yeah, he really is. And it's interesting now with Caleb Farley being activated. You know, Elijah Molden, right now, I would say Elijah Molden is still behind Chris Jackson when you talk about slot corner.
Yeah.
I think that's – it seems to be – we got Chris Jackson the other day, and that's – I think that seems to be his focus right now. And, of course, last year he was all over the place as a rookie, starts his first game as a rookie, you know, an impressive late-round pick, but a tough, you know, trial-by-fire type season as a rookie. He's worked hard. I would say that right now he is ahead of Elijah Molden, and I think Molden is – I think the expectation will be that he – eventually overtakes him, but it's good to have that competition. With Farley, you know, let's say he gets back out there and he's able to do contact and he's able to really compete for a role. It's interesting. I mean, to me, Farley is an outside corner. I mean, that height, I mean, I feel like that's certainly what he was brought in to be. But right now, who would he – I guess he would be competing with Fulton. I think Jackrabbit Jenkins is a lock as a starter.
Yeah.
Guy who looks good out there. Fast, knows what's going on, makes plays. So it's good in terms – you want depth because we know injuries will happen. But it's also interesting if Farley were to be healthy and really be able to compete. I'm not sure he starts, you know, until someone else either gets hurt or falters.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in, with all the talented receivers we have in camp, I know we can't keep them all and we'll lose some, but can't we keep a few guys on the practice squad for just in case of injuries and potential to make the team next year? Joe Rexroad, how do you think the Titans utilize the practice squad at wide receiver? And with the new rules in place and the roster rules largely remaining the same from a year ago, trying to sneak guys through on the practice squad going to be interesting to see how that works, especially this year when there's actual preseason games and actual tape that other coaches can watch on some of these guys at the NFL level.
Right. Like, I would project McMath to make the team. But I think if he didn't, you know, I'd be concerned about the Titans about putting him on waivers. You know, because obviously the practice squad is built from guys who pass through waivers and no one else picks them up. And McMath looks like a guy who somebody else would be like, oh, okay, we'll take a flyer on him. And you're still talking about taking a flyer, you know, to be on your active roster, but there's a risk with him. So, yeah, I mean, I think certainly you'll probably see some of these guys on the practice squad. I just don't know who exactly. And, I mean, we haven't even talked about, you know, like Mason Kinsey is a guy who he's not bad. I mean, Cody Hollister is out there and he is getting significant reps, but he's just an afterthought. You don't even talk about him in terms of making the team right now. They just suddenly have just a ton of people there. So, yeah, now someone like him, much easier to sneak onto a practice squad to me than like a McMath at this point.
Yeah, I would say so too. And, you know, a texter earlier brought up the idea of maybe McMath with trade bait and maybe with all the hype around him right now, maybe that could happen. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know how much trade bait there is or trade value there is with McMath there. But I will say, I mean, if you watch him play and if he plays anything like he's played so far during training camp, that happens during the regular season, sneaking that guy through the practice squad with his size and his speed – probably going to be very difficult to accomplish if you're the Titans.
Yeah. And again, at this point, I mean, that, I guess that's part of your consideration when you talk about, you know, your the final 53, but I mean, I think he's in good shape right now to make it anyway. I mean, Mike Vrabel clearly loves the way he competes out there and has probably been as praising of him, you know, as anyone in terms of what he's been asked about. Plus you see it on the practice field and we still haven't seen pads yet. I mean, it's going to be interesting now. You put pads on that guy. What's he going to do to people in tackling drills?
Yeah.
And remember, McMath does both sides of the tackling drill.
Right.
You know, he carries the ball, and he's tackling people because, of course, he's making this team as a core special teams guy if he makes it. So McMath and pads should be Mick interesting.
Yes, it should. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back, as Joe mentioned. The first day in pads coming up today in Titans training camp. What are some of the more intriguing position battles to watch in the first day of full pads? We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, I can't believe we've made it this far into the show without wishing our very good friend a happy birthday. Happy 44th birthday to one Tom Brady. Today of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady turns 44 years old today, about to kick off yet another NFL season as quarterback, going for Super Bowl ring number 8. So, Joe, I know you wanted to wish Tom Brady a very happy 44th birthday today.
I do. That's very nice. I heard the music, and I'm like, what could this possibly be? But, yes, very happy birthday. 44 at age, he gets, 18 hours of sleep a night and eats 3 pieces of kale. So his body is 27. So good job, Tom.
What do we think the big birthday celebration looks like from Brady? Is there any, wine cooler involved, that could take place tonight for Brady? What do we think, how do we think he celebrates his 44th?
Maybe a virgin wine cooler.
Maybe so.
Which I guess is that just like Hawaiian punch? I don't know. But
yes.
You know, you can't. But sugar free Hawaiian.
Yeah, sugar free. I'm about to say it can't have too much sugar in it.
Yeah. Maybe a splurge and have like 1 extra ounce of grilled cod. I don't know. Does he eat any meat? I don't know.
Well, look, he played all last year.
Probably will do some like. Sorry, he'll probably do some TikTok with him and all his like Super Bowl rings or something to celebrate.
He might do that. Hey, look, he played all last year at the age of 43 on a sprained knee. So he's healthy. He's ready to go this year. 44 is the new 25. He's gonna be great this year. Tier 1 quarterback, Tom Brady.
That's right. He's moved back up to Tier 1. Congratulations, Tom. But Tannehill's moved up to Tier 2, so there you go.
Yes. We wish Tom Brady a very happy birthday here on the show today. Titans will be seeing Tom Brady in a couple weeks, too. So looking forward to that, too. Titans and the Bucks. Joint practices, baby. Looking forward to that. Maybe the Titans get better just from practicing with Brady. You know, the last season they practiced with Brady, got to the AFC title game.
That's a good point. And actually, I believe it wasn't Brady. Didn't Brady say something at some point like their offense is abhorrent or something like that? I think he said something ripping on their offense. He also brought out like a participation trophy for Vrabel. So that was cool.
Yeah.
It's a good team to have joint practices with. Really, really good team. So that's a good joint practice partner for the Titans.
Joe, the first day of pads coming up today in Titans training camp, full pads coming on, and it's been, you know, kind of a different evaluation thus far, especially on the line of scrimmage, offensive and defensive lines. Obviously, when you're not fully padded up, you do not get the full evaluation experience with those two position groups specifically. What are some guys that come to mind that intrigue you the most as we move ahead to today for the first full day of pads for Titans training camp?
Well, Dylan Radunz is kind of an obvious one, but I definitely want to see more from him. Withholding too much judgment right now, I would say that as a pass blocker, he needs work. You know, that's one thing that I would say, you know, from shorts, but it's still that there's a lot of passing plays in the, you know, in the 11-on-11. And so far, you know, I think he's got work to do there. Now, does it look different in pads? Does it look better for him in pads? Can he impose himself as a run blocker? You know, now that they – because, you know, that's not really – I mean, they still have running plays in this situation, but obviously it's still sort of like you're just going through a fast walkthrough and the back squirts through and you touch the back and he's down. I mean, now there's going to be some actual football. Does that benefit Dylan Radunz? Are these backup defensive linemen who have looked very quick and active, Laurel Murchison, Tier Tart, are they still effective in pads? If so, I think you got a really nice quartet there to rotate on the D-line with obviously Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry are going to be your mainstays, and you want them to get a lot of snaps, but you need them to also be able to take snaps and series off. So do those guys still look as good? And then look, the tight end position, I'm more bullish on Firkser based on what we've seen than John Glennon is based on his interview on the show earlier.
Yep.
But there's going to be some opportunities for him to block. The tight ends blocking, the linebackers getting off blocks. I mean, even though the early stages of camp is more about the skill guys, still want to see these corners. How's Christian Fulton in terms of coming on as a tackler? Does Caleb Farley get into that and tackle? Elijah Molden, a lot of promise with him. A lot of great shiftiness, hips. You know, he's quick. I think he's going to be a really crafty slot player, but how about tackling NFL players? There's a guy who, you know, we're going to find out some more about. So it's still limited, of course, to like compared to what you're going to see on Sundays. But you have to have some work on tackling and being physical, or I think you do a disservice to your players and team on Sundays.
I would agree. Now, I would also
quite
say,
a balance.
Yeah, there's a balance there. And like to me, there was one of my buddies asked me yesterday, like, is Derrick Henry going to do anything at camp this year, or is he just kind of going through the motions and not taking any contact before training camp gets here? And I'm like, I think that guy will probably be okay taking contact once the games get here. Probably no need at this point with Derrick Henry to make him take any unnecessary hits at this point, would be my guess, the way the Titans handle that.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident that 22 is – he knows the running place, you know.
He does. Well, they had clipboard out there yesterday, so maybe coming up with some new stuff.
He was out – well, yeah, he was out there. Looked like he was like an assistant to the OC. He had the clipboard on the sideline as they were going through plays. So he's the one guy you feel pretty good, confident. We'll see very little, if any, contact at all. He has been out and he's done some, you know, some pass catching stuff in like individuals. And as I said, I think last week, looks good doing that, by the way. But the work is going to right now, it's going at running back, it's going to Darrington Evans, it's going to Brian Hill. Now Jeremy McNichols is activated, so he's in the mix. So you're going to see a whole bunch of, I think, especially 32 and 25, that's Evans and Hill, in these preseason games. And that's an interesting situation there too. And how does Darrington Evans look between the tackles, just as a running back? I mean, he's fast. He gets to the corner really fast. He catches the ball well. I think he's an underrated part of what this offense could be. But Brian Hill's also a guy who has caught the ball well in his career. He's got some good size and maybe a little bit more of a straight-up number two if Henry does have to miss any time.
Joe, something that's going to be really interesting with this group throughout the preseason is trying to identify who's going to be that number three at outside linebacker. Obviously, you've got Harold Landry, and when Bud Dupree comes back in, he'll be healthy. But who is the next guy going to be? And you brought up a name earlier that I think is very intriguing, and that is Rashad Weaver out of Pittsburgh. And look, we know about the off-the-field issues with Rashad Weaver, and we've talked about a lot about that here on the show. On the field, albeit with no pads yet to this point, what have you seen from Rashad Weaver? Does he look the part? And could you see a situation where maybe Rashad Weaver is the number three guy at outside linebacker and get some significant reps this year for the Titans?
I think it's possible. He's looked good. I've been impressed with Rashad Weaver. His repertoire, his quickness, he's explosive off the line. But I'll tell you who has come right in and gotten significant work is John Simon.
Yep.
I mean, John Simon has come right in and has had some serious reps, some significant reps that tell you that there's just an instant trust with him. And obviously, again, you know, Mike Vrabel, John Simon go back to Vrabel coaching at Ohio State. So you're talking about, you know, a lot of history there and knowledge. And Simon's been a good player. Obviously, he's on the, you know, on the back end of the career, but I think he's moved pretty well. So, like, at this point, if we're counting Dupree in the mix there with Landry, who we know is going to be on the field, you know, a lot, I think I would say John Simon right now is your three. And I also would say that Weaver shows promise to make you think that the days of three active outside linebackers on a Sunday may be over. And I think that would be good for the Titans. You also have Derek Roberson out there. Now, he had some kind of an injury as well, so, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. But I would, you know, I would put him fifth right now. And maybe I'm taking a little bit of a leap there, but I think that they did get a guy in Weaver who is going to be a factor, and I would think that would be able to has an opportunity here to earn some reps on the field on game days as a rookie.
Nashville SC and the New England Revolution have a huge match to take over first place in the Eastern Division this Wednesday night. Join us for a fun watch party at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. You can enjoy great beer specials on Heineken. Plus, they will be giving away tickets to the next Nashville SC home game. Mark your calendar to watch Nashville SC take on the New England Revolution Wednesday night at 6 p.m. at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House at 1003 Russell Street in East Nashville. It's a great spot. Love me some Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans, a little training camp edition of Buy or Sell. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, you come out with a piece at TheAthletic.com, basically a buy or sell edition for Titans training camp so far. Some thoughts to sell, some thoughts and some premonitions maybe to buy so far during Titans training camp. One of the things that you have talked about maybe being a buyer of in Titans training camp, A.J. Brown on his way to a new level of NFL stardom. A lot of people already love A.J. Brown. He's been very good, obviously over 1,000 yards in each of his first 2 years. It does kind of feel like he looks different so far during training camp, and that we're about to see A.J. Brown's career take off to maybe an even higher level than we've already seen through the first couple of years. When you talk about on his way to a new level of NFL stardom, what exactly do you mean? What do you think that looks like for A.J. Brown as he moves into his third year?
I mean, the hard part is knowing what it might mean statistically, because A.J. Brown could be what he looks like right now, which is certainly healthier than last year. I'd say more explosive, more confident. He's kind of at that peak. You know, you talk about in the NFL as a franchise, you want those guys who develop into great players, who are healthy, great athletes, understand the game, dominate their position, and they're not yet making big money. There you go. A.J. Brown is like the perfect NFL player for a franchise right now. I mean, he's a star. What is it? He could have a slight reduction in stats this year and still be that guy. Just it's so hard to know exactly how the ball will be distributed and what it's going to look like week to week. A.J. Brown can be exactly what he is right now and do exactly the same thing to corners week to week in the NFL, and he's still probably going to have a 3-catch, 28-yard game in there. I mean, that's just how that's the nature of the league, and it's also the nature of this particular group of skill. It's, you know, there's a lot of options for Ryan Tannehill, but not only there's any question about it, this is of the constant push and pull on the training camp with the football team. You know, somebody on one side does something well, then what does that mean about the guy on the other side? Yeah, this is not like some indictment of the corners or anything on this team. A.J. Brown's going to torch a lot of people in the league this year as long as he is physically in good shape, you know, as long as he does not sustain another injury. So, and even like yesterday, yesterday we talked earlier in the show about the pick that Tannehill threw with, Christian Fulton jumping around. But again, a very late bad decision by Tannehill. There was no chance for A.J. Brown to do anything. You know, then next time they were down at that end in the red zone, I'm trying to remember who exactly he turned somebody inside out to such extent that like he had about 10 yards of separation in a red zone rep. Okay. And scored a TD, in the corner of the end zone. Tannehill threw it to him, and then A.J. Brown like punted it, into the air to celebrate. I mean, he's out there just doing ridiculous stuff. And he's also he's so competitive. Like when other receivers have made plays, he's out there, getting in guys' face, congratulating them. I mean, he's completely, ready to be another level of player. Again, I just don't know what it looks like this year because number two is here and 22 is going to be there. And let's not forget TE1.
That's right.
Mr. Firkser.
That's right. And we'll get to that a little bit more coming up here in just a second. But I do like it's interesting because a lot of people have said, all right, well, A.J. Brown's not going to get as much attention as he probably should this year from a media standpoint because Julio Jones is here. I think you can look at that a couple of different ways. There's that way to look at it, and there's also maybe he gets more attention this year because Julio Jones is here, and a lot of people are going to be paying attention to this Tennessee Titans offense. I get it. Derrick Henry's there as well, and he's going to get a lot of love this year. But I think maybe some people this year who haven't seen A.J. Brown play a ton maybe more apt to watch the Titans this year, and if he plays like he's played so far in training camp, he's going to open a lot of eyes around the NFL this year because he is a guy that when you talk about the highlight reel play, I can go on and tell you, A.J. Brown's going to make a few highlight reel plays this year.
Oh, no question. Again, think about last year while injured, what he did. While injured, while just about every game, right, he would come down on the leg and just be in pain, like searing pain. Then he'd go off and he'd come back three snaps later. Think about the play he made to win the division, from Tannehill. The carrying several Ravens into the end zone play in Baltimore. I mean, now imagine him without any sort of limitations or any sort of pain. Pretty amazing that he did. And I honestly, I don't think that I appreciated, and probably a lot of people didn't appreciate exactly what he was going through. It's not like he's giving you detailed injury updates. You knew he was hurting, but then, you know, the fact that he has a surgery right after the season, it's like, my goodness, what would he have looked like if that wasn't a thing? Because he missed a lot of camp last year too. I mean, this was an all-year thing for him. So you also, you're careful in this league to count on anyone to be healthy, because it's a league that easily gets you hurt. But right now, he looks pretty unstoppable.
John Glennon earlier in the show brought up the defense, how he's been pleasantly surprised by what he's seen from the defense so far through Titans training camp. We've talked about the plays that they've made, the interceptions that Ryan Tannehill has thrown, and maybe even some people saying, all right, well, maybe this means some good things for our defense this year for the Titans. Are you willing to go there yet? Have you seen enough out of the defense thus far to help convince you that maybe they're on the path to being a much better defense yet this year?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and sell that one right now. And I'm not selling it and saying there's no chance, but just it's so early. I think there are some individual positives that you can look at right now. We've talked about this, the depth. I think there are some depth guys who have come into camp looking like they realize they have an opportunity and taking advantage of it. That's big. It's you got to have depth up front. I think in the defensive backfield, Breon Borders, look, if he has to play, he came ready to play. He's playing well. So he last year he had to play at times. I mean, he was probably one of the better corners last year, yeah, honestly. So he's a backup. You know, Chris Jackson, is he a backup? Either way, you have Elijah Molden, you have Chris Jackson. I think one of those two guys is going to be in the slot, would be my guess right now. And that's not a bad situation. Now you bring in Caleb Farley and you have more depth there. I think there's some, like, again, Fulton yesterday was active, aggressive, fast. That's great. I mean, Amani Hooker has been good, has looked good. Like, he knows what's going on and he's making plays next to Kevin Byard, who's also making plays. So, like, there's individuals who are doing good things. Again, we're talking 7-on-7. We're talking 11-on-11 in shorts and helmets. And the pads will tell us a little bit more. I'm interested, you know, what kind of a run defense – can this run defense be more reliable? That was a big disappointment. We talked so much about third down last year, but they took a big step backward in overall rush defense. And at times, you know, that really hurt them. You know, can they be more consistent set? I think some of that was, like, Clowney at times, you know, playing outside the system and not setting the edge when they needed him to set the edge and things like that. Can they be more sound? I mean, I think Bud Dupree is known as an all-around really good player who plays the run well. Rashad Weaver, I think, is a good – and Simon. You know, I think those are good additions in that way. But, you know, inside linebacker, Rashawn Evans. It's hard to have any idea about Rashawn Evans right now. He's out there. He's running around. He's made some plays. But pads on should help sort that out a little bit. There are four inside linebackers who all, you know, can play to some level. And we're going to find out a lot more about Monty Rice here too.
Joe, the one hesitation that I've got in this buy or sell piece that you put up at The Athletic is Anthony Firkser ready to be a number one tight end. You are a buyer in that idea that Anthony Firkser is ready to be a number one tight end. And I'm not saying that you're necessarily wrong. I feel like I need to see more before I am willing to go that far and buy into Anthony Firkser being ready to be a number one tight end. Now, look. He's getting a lot of endorsements. Delanie Walker loves him some Anthony Firkser. Kevin Byard loves him some Anthony Firkser. So I don't ignore those things. Those things carry some weight with me as well. So I think there's a lot of reason to be excited if you're a Titans fan about Anthony Firkser based on not only what some of his teammates and former teammates have said about him, but also how he's looked so far in training camp. I just need to see it a little bit more in some games before I'm willing to buy into that.
Yeah, it's fair. Look, it's a totally different level of expectation, probably of opportunity. Certainly, even with Swaim and Stocker, I think there's some pressure off him with the signing of Stocker. But still, I mean, he has to be in line more. He has to be just on the field more. So this offense is less predictable. He has to, if you're going to do it this way at tight end, then to some extent you are saying Anthony Firkser can be a core part of the running game too. And then defenses don't know what to expect when 86 is on the field. So that remains to be seen. I see him. He's certainly bigger than his upper body. His feet are quick. He looks as good as ever running routes and catching the ball. And last year was a breakout season for him, especially when you think about a guy who was an undrafted fullback out of Harvard. You know, it's quite a story. Is he ready to be TE1? I'm not saying he's ready to be like a standout starting tight end in the NFL, but I definitely feel more confident that this route the Titans have taken at tight end could work out for them.
Coming up next, we'll get into the Tennessee Volunteers media today for Tennessee. What is the biggest challenge ahead for Josh Heupel and company as he moves into year one with the Vols? We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.